This surah was revealed in the early Meccan time period. Alhamdulillah, all praise for Allah. Alhamd is such a praise that it has love and respect in it, and it is done to show love. There are other words to show praise, such as madah. Madaha can be done to praise a person, but it doesn't mean that it is done sincerely. It can be done to get someone to do something for you, so it has a motive. Hamd is such a praise that it is due to their perfection and greatness. Therefore, cannot do hamd of any person, because there is no perfection in any person. In hamd is praise and gratitude, and is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Alhamdulillah, all praise is for Allah. Is it okay to praise oneself? If a person does it, it is not good, because if a person has one good quality, then they have many other shortcomings or faults. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states Alhamd, then he is worthy and deserving of praise. In this world, if anyone praises a person, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are doing from their heart. But hamd is praise done with great love, and one who is praised is deserving due to his attributes. When Surah Bani Israel finishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say, all praise to Allah. And now this surah begins with implementation of that command in the last surah. Now whoever recites it will fulfill the command, as the previous surah ended with the praise. Here the person recites the praises in the beginning of the surah. All praise and gratitude is for Allah. What attributes of Allah do we remember in praises? He possesses attributes of all goodness, as we say Subhanallah. As the previous surah begins with this, in Subhanallah, Allah is mentioned to be pure and free from all weaknesses and all deficiencies and all evils. And in Hamd, all attributes that are good are recognized, and he is deserving of all praise, and all gratitude is for him. In praise or madah, it does not mean that the person has those attributes. In hamd, having those attributes is a must. This is the difference between these two types of praises. Therefore, Alhamdulillah is the superior form of dua, even if nothing is asked. But when one says Alhamdulillah, is showing gratitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, In shakartum la azidannakum. If you give thanks, Allah will give you more. So when a person shows gratitude and says Alhamdulillah for his blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows better blessings than they have. And in it, we are saying, Allah, you are deserving of this praise. And O Allah, you are deserving that you be shown gratitude. If a person wants to give thanks to Allah, even if he stays in prostration their entire life, they cannot truly give thanks. Even if we were to look at the blessings of breathing, which we are using without any labor or hard work, if we needed to use an instrument to help us breathe and take in air, then process that air, and then make the air to reach the rest of the body, we would be doing this the whole day and would have no time for anything else. All praise is to Allah that we breathe so easily, and there is no price for it. While if we were to buy a cylinder of oxygen, we would have to pay so much. And eventually the air runs out from the tank. We see patients in hospitals who require oxygen. How much it costs for the use of one day, or for 1 week, or for 1 month, or even a year. How much would we have to pay for the entire life? How much we would have to pay in bills? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us so much for free. Even the water that comes into our homes, the companies charge money for providing us the water, not for making the water. Allah is one who makes the water through the water cycle. If it does not rain and fill the reservoirs, then think how much the water would cost. Today, it is not expensive. And if the sun doesn't shine, no matter how many light bulbs we use, even then, we could not generate this much light that the sun gives us. How much we would have to pay? It comes out for us in the day so we can see, and goes away at night so we can sleep. So we cannot even count His blessings to truly thank Him. The first matter this surah begins with is gratitude to Allah, His praise with love and recognizing His greatness. O Allah, we do such praises that show our love because of Your greatness and attributes. Where Allah gives us so many blessings, He doesn't say, all praise to Allah who fed you, gave you ability to breathe, and gave you water, and shined the sun for you. Here, these things are not mentioned. Rather, another blessing is mentioned. And what is that blessing? الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ One who sent down and revealed upon his slave the book. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised because He sent down a book upon His slave. Which slave? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation of this book is a big blessing and khair for mankind. That Allah says, praise Allah for this. He is deserving of praise due to this. While He is deserving of praise for all of His blessings. When we wake up in the morning, even for that is a dua we recite, showing our gratitude. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us, even when we get food, we say Alhamdulillah. Even after use of toilet, when we exit the bathroom, there is a dua of gratitude and Alhamdulillah. When we see some people in distress, there is dua for praise when we ourselves are in security. How many times during the day we praise Allah for not just as a tasbih, but for gratitude of all His blessings. For a believer, this is part of his speech. This is his word for during the day. The specific blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Alhamdulillah, all praise for Allah that He sent down the book upon His slave. This is a big favor and blessing that Allah reminds us to praise Him for. But man still doesn't realize how is this book a big blessing. As people ask, how is this book a blessing? Just as when someone asks, how does Tylenol take away headaches? While we don't understand the ingredients of Tylenol, nor the mechanism inside our bodies that works to remove the pain, only one who has a headache and then takes the Tylenol and feels better understands its benefits. So only one who comes to the Quran will understand what it means when Quran says it is shifa for mankind. How it gives tranquility and has mercy and blessings. Not one who doesn't come to it, only one who is attached will understand. Do we insist that show us how it is a blessing, then we will come to it? No, it is a speech of Allah. Allah calls it shifa or healing, then it is shifa. So all praise is for Allah who sent down this book upon his slave. When this book was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire mankind could gain benefit from it. The benefit which will reach mankind due to this book, because of it, should praise Allah. Such a powerful Quran, if we were to write its benefits, it is like an ocean. How many of its pearls we want to gather. If we were to spend our entire life trying to gain its benefits, still would not be able to collect all of them. Such an amazing book. So here, praise of Allah for the goodness and benefits that reaches mankind from this Quran. So we should be grateful. Do you give thanks? If we feel the benefits of the Quran, we should definitely be grateful and thankful for it. While we have learned so little, still, we get so much guidance and peace and tranquility, even for this amount of time we spend learning it. We cannot truly give thanks for even this. This is the Quran that transformed the disbelievers of Makkah into radiyallahu anhu wa radu'an. Those who used to worship idols became transformed by the Quran. And if we think for just a second that if this Quran was not there, would we have gained recognition of Allah? It would not have been possible. Where would we have learned about Him? Because Allah sent it down and revealed it to the Prophet, that now we know who Allah is, what are His likes and dislikes, what are His expectations from us. We learn from the Quran, therefore this is such a blessing. We should give thanks to Allah for this blessing. But if we consider Quran difficult, then how will we be grateful? In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, the biggest mercy of the most merciful is that He taught the Quran, and this is His mercy. All praise and thanks to Him that He gave us this Quran. Therefore, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the best among you is one who learns the Quran and teaches it to others. Learning and teaching is noble. And ala abdihi, upon his slave. Here Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called abd. Being a slave of Allah, if it is also taken as meaning of a devout worshipper, then this also is a big honor. This is the highest honor and rank for a man to be abd of Allah. And especially Allah calls one as abd. Allah mentions He took His abd upon the Miraj, the journey of ascension to heavens. Al-Kitab, the book, something written. This book is written, and it is also understood as Qatb. It means in great abundance. In this Kitab or book that Allah revealed upon His slave is full of wisdom. Number two. It is something written. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, and did not He make for it any crookedness. For the book, Quran, there is no crookedness in it. What does it mean? There are no misunderstandings, nor confusions, nor any crookedness. Look at the Quran, the book revealed upon the slave. The credentials of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this book has no confusion nor any contradiction. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, and if it was from other than Allah, surely you would have found much contradictions in it. This book was revealed in a span of 22 years. While if we look at our own selves, our thinking, ideas, statements change within even a few years. The knowledge of man increases step by step, and what they would have said even 10 years ago if they were to look back and read it later, they would find it immature. But in the Quran, it is not that it changes in anything at that time period of 23 years. Ayahs support each other. There is no contradiction of matters, nor matters are nullified. There is no confusion in it. If a person doesn't understand, then it is only due to lack of their own intellect. There are some people who want to take out crookedness from it. This is their agenda. This is due to crookedness of their own minds. Qayyiman, one straight, and that straightens. What does it straighten? People's aqaid, which is belief in Allah and matters of deen. It straightens their thinking. Their misunderstandings are removed. It straightens everything. It corrects everything. The first meaning is that it itself is straight, and there is nothing confusing or contradictory in it. It is straight and balanced. And the second meaning is that it corrects the thinking of people. It corrects the lives of people. The third point is that the previous books that were sent and whatever new matters were introduced in them later on with new innovated beliefs, the Quran straightens out those matters. For example, what is written in Torah? If we want to see if a matter is correct in it, we can check with the Quran. How does one check with the Quran? Whatever matter is mentioned in the Quran is final. By it we can find out that which was added in the previous books. Quran also guards previous books. It verifies what was sent from Allah in the books. لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا. So it warns of a severe punishment. What does it have to do with Anzar? It means to forewarn of a severe time, day, or conditions before they come. So it warns people. This Quran is straight and it warns. There will not be any other books to be sent by Allah after the Quran and no other prophets to come. As long before the prophets were sent to nations where a prophet had already come to correct people's aqidahs or beliefs or remove evils that entered into their beliefs, so the new prophet would come to correct the people. This Quran is such. After it, no other book will come. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected it and is free of all confusions and crookedness. And no one can add anything to it. It is straight and protects people from deviations. Which ba's and shadidan does it warn people about? The severe punishments will be in the hereafter. And it warns about them. Here, another meaning of the word ba'asen is indicated and has a different meaning because normally for severe punishment, the words used are azabin shadid for punishments and torments of the hereafter. This word is different. When it comes alone, it means battle, war. And when it is in a plural, it means extreme difficulties or hardships, pain and suffering. As it comes in Surah Al-Baqarah in the plural form, indicating poverty, hardship, difficulty, and starvation. When Heen al-Ba's is used, it means war. But here it says Ba'san Shadidan, so it warns of a big disaster. So it is indicating towards the coming of Dajjal and his trials. Before the Day of Qiyamah, so it came to warn about it. Because it will be such a severe and difficult test for the believers. And for that difficult time, Quran prepares us for it. That such time is about to come that will never have come aforetime. And if it is taken to mean a battle or fighting. There is a war Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about, called Malhamat al-Uzma, that will happen before the day of Qiyamah. It is also connected to the fitna of Dajjal, because right after it, Dajjal will appear, as Dajjal will come out due to something that will infuriate him. In Muslim, it is narrated that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud stated that Qiyamah will not be established until there is no distribution of inheritance, nor will anyone try to take the war booty. Why is that? So many people will die that there will be no one left to inherit. Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud indicated towards Sham, which is the area of Syria and Jordan today, and said Christians will gather there to fight against the Muslims, and the Muslims too will gather to fight. Ravi asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, "Do you mean they will be Christians?" Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Yes." At that point, there will be extreme fighting. The first group of Muslims will move forward, making a covenant that they will either die or be victorious. Then severe fighting will begin. Fight will continue until night is reached and both parties will stop fighting without victory or loss. Then the entire group of Muslims will be killed. Then another group of Muslims, making a covenant to either die or be victorious, will join. The fighting will continue until nightfall again, and then at night, both will stop fighting without victory or loss. Then the second group of Muslims will be all killed. The third day, then again Muslims will send another group to fight with a pact to either die or be victorious. Fighting will continue until nightfall. Then both will stop fighting without victory or loss. Then that entire group of Muslims will be killed as well. On the fourth day, the remaining army will take part. That day, Allah will give Muslims victory. That day, the fighting will be so severe that no one would ever see again, nor would have seen in the past. Not even comparable to world wars. So many deaths will occur that if a bird flies above the bodies, the bird will die flying the distance, but bodies will not end. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. One father will have 100 sons, and only one will remain alive. 99% of the people will die. In such conditions, who will care for war booty or victory, and who will accept the distribution of inheritances? No one will be left. Then they will hear of even a bigger catastrophe. They will be facing such a severe problem. Even after the Muslims become victorious, after so many deaths. Today, mankind has created such weapons of destruction. Even use of one causes such catastrophes and deaths. After the Muslims win, they will hear a loud sound, which will be sound of shaitan, that behind them with their families, the Dajjal has appeared. When those remaining hear, they will leave everything and run back home. 10 horse riders will be sent quickly, and others will follow them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that I know the names of the riders and the names of their fathers, and I recognize the colors of their horses. That day they will be the best of mankind as riders. This is in Muslim. The shaitan would have spread false news about Dajjal, but when they return, Dajjal will come out. He will be so furious at that time. This is called Armageddon, and in Islam, Malhamat al-Uzma. And right after its end, Dajjal will come out. These both are related. This kitab also came to warn of the severe difficulty. Even if one considers the meaning ba'san as hunger, difficulty, extreme hardship, even then, the time of Dajjal, who do not believe in him, will face these difficulties. They will face hunger, difficulties, hardships, and suffering, because he will strangle those who do not believe in him. They will not get any water, food, nor have any place to go. The lives of the believers will become constricted. The earth will be constricted to them. From this surah we learn that those who seek refuge in Allah for their faith, then Allah saves them. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And this book came to give good news to those who do good deeds, those who are believers. Everywhere else in the Quran it is mentioned, آمِنُوا وَآمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Here it says, الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What is الْمُؤْمِنِينَ? It is a noun. When a word comes as a verb, it means its condition can change. While when it comes as a noun, it indicates a permanent quality. Normally, when a mu'min is mentioned, then there is no need to mention doing righteous deeds. But here, when ba'sin shadeed is mentioned, at that time, only having faith will not be enough. Only those will be able to save themselves, those who also do righteous deeds. يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who do good and righteous deeds will be able to save themselves. Otherwise, if a person is just a mu'min or a believer, will not be enough. Must be one doing righteous deeds. So give glad news or tidings to them, because only their faith will be saved. First, we were told to give gratitude for this book. Do we only consider a big house a blessing and fear losing it? One who considers this book a blessing will attach themselves or herself to it and will not leave it. Does anyone wish for their blessings to go away from them? No, we always want the blessings to remain with us. But one who considers it a blessing will give thanks and will attach themselves with it. Remember, there is no crookedness in it. It is straight, and one that corrects and straightens others. So stay attached to the Quran. In times of trial, what are we being taught? Why are we asked to memorize the first 10 ayahs? How will it protect us from Dajjal? Staying attached to the Quran, it will keep believers straight. People will try to find crookedness in it and will try to deviate the believers from the straight path. The book tells us of the time when there will be Ba'sin Shadeed. At that time, glad tidings are for one who is a believer, who does righteous deeds. Glad tidings of what? أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Indeed, for them is a great or good reward. Upon what? For faith and belief with good deeds. Secondly, when ajr is mentioned, it is usually for akhirah. So, will they not get reward in dunya? Believers will have to remember that that time they should not hope for reward or benefit in this world. They will only get it in the hereafter. So glad tidings are for those who believe and do good deeds. They will have a good reward in the akhirah, or the hereafter. How do we know that it refers to the reward of the hereafter? مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. They are ones to live in it forever. This is not possible in this world. Nothing is eternal in this life, not any benefit that is forever. So they will remain in it forever, which will be Jannah. Makatha is a word which means staying somewhere with a hope. Another word used for eternally dwelling is Khalidina Fiha. The word Makatha we can better understand with an example. For example, if we build a house, we build everything we want in it and do it with perfection and beauty. We become so happy that we cannot sleep with excitement of moving there. When we move, the desire and level of happiness is so much. if he holds that amount of happiness in a bottle, as time passes, we naturally lose excitement about the house. Nor call people over to look at our newer house. Is the happiness the same in the beginning when it is built as compared to a few years later? If a person begins to lose that extreme happiness later and he decides to open the bottle to get that level of excitement again, then gets it. In Jannah, the happiness and delight will remain every day. Nothing will be boring. Boredom is also a creation of Allah that will not be in Jannah. Everyday dwellers of Jannah will feel the same level of excitement as the first day they entered Jannah. They will be delighted all the time. Therefore, we should take this idea out of our minds that we will get bored over there. Every day will be better and better than the last. Enjoyment and excitement will not end. It will remain forever. Dunya is not Jannah. The capacity of enjoyment will be increased. No one will tire nor get bored. There will not be any hunger, thirst, heat or cold. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain the enjoyments for His dwellers. Alhamdulillah, this completes the tafsir. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Please listen to the tilawa.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا